With the trade deadline a week behind us, it's time to finally recap. I'm Bensie Gisser, and this is World of Baseball. Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 47 of the World of Baseball podcast. We are nearing episode 50 of the show. It is honestly crazy to see how far this podcast has come in the last year and a month or so. I started it August of last year, and we are currently sitting at 47 episodes. We've had professional athletes on, we've had writers, we've had media personalities, and we will have more people on in the future of this podcast. Hopefully, I will do my absolute best to continue to grow this podcast. Thank you guys so much for listening to the World of Baseball podcast. I really, really appreciate it. I have a blast doing it. I have a blast having guests on. I have a blast reading your emails and reading your feedback and having discussions with you guys, the fans of this show. And it is honestly amazing to see how much it is growing. So thank you guys so much for the support of the show. In this episode, we're going to be talking about the trade deadline. The trade deadline was a week ago. And we did not talk about it because I had a guest on. I had Yakov Neuer. We discussed the New York Mets in an episode called The Mediocre Mets. You guys can check that episode out. It is the one that came before this episode if you haven't listened to it yet. There's a lot of great information, great banter in that episode. So feel free to enjoy that episode of the podcast. So now we are going to recap the trade deadline. We're going to be talking about some of the major trades that went down to the MLB and my opinions on it. All right, let's jump right into this. We're going to talk about the first trade, which is obviously a huge trade, not just for me, before the entire MLB. As we knew coming into this trade deadline, we didn't think it was going to be that big. Just a broader overview. Since it's a 60-game season, since this season doesn't really feel like an actual season, and it's not an actual full season, we did not think the trade deadline was going to be that big. It was not that big, but it was pretty big. It was bigger than we expected it to be. We did not think that much was going to go down, but there was a couple big trades. We did see major pieces move during this trade deadline, and it was really interesting to watch. We thought everything would stay static, would stay the same during the trade deadline, but it did not. It did not at all, and there were some big moves, and it was honestly very interesting to see. Teams are still going to be competing this year, regardless of 60 games or 162 games or anything like that. Everyone's competing this year, and you were able to see that in the trade deadline. Before we jump into exactly what happened, I'm just going to make a quick point about the New York Yankees. The New York Yankees made zero moves in the trade deadline, which is honestly sad for them. There is something up with the New York Yankees. I just want to talk about it briefly. They're playing 500 ball right now. They're 21-21 on the season. Half their team is injured. There's got to be something going on in New York that we are not aware of. There's got to be something with the training staff, because I've not seen a team since I started following baseball that gets as injured as much as this New York Yankees team. And not only gets injured, their stars get injured. All their good players get injured. Aaron Judge cannot play three games in a row without getting hurt. Aaron Judge gets back and gets injured again. Giancarlo Stanton's always hurt. All these guys are constantly injured. They're starting pitching, always injured. Their relief, their bullpen has actually been pretty solid this year. The bullpen is pretty healthy. But besides that, everyone is injured in New York, and I'm just wondering why. So if anyone can explain to me why the New York Yankees continuously get injured all the time, please do so by sending an email to theworldofbaseballpodcast@gmail.com. I would love to hear your opinions on the New York Yankees. Jumping right into the trades, the San Diego Padres acquired Mike Clevinger, a right-handed pitcher from my Cleveland Indians, outfielder Greg Allen, and a player to be named later from the Indians, for starting catcher Austin Hedges, outfielder slash first baseman Joshua Naylor, relief pitcher Cal Quantrill, shortstop prospect Gabriel Arias, infielder Owen Miller, and left-handed pitcher Joey Cantillo. I think it's Cantillo or Cantillo. I'm not entirely sure how you pronounce it, but that was a big trade. That was definitely the watershed trade of this trade deadline, and it's very interesting to see what happens. No one expected a big piece to move in this trade deadline. We all thought it would be smaller pieces, but in fact, a big piece did move. Arguably, the biggest trade piece that was up for the market this trade deadline was Mike Clevinger of the Cleveland Indians. The Indians' rotation is obviously very good with or without Mike Clevinger, and with the influx of minor league pitching prospects that have done well in the major leagues, most notably recently, Tristan McKenzie, Mike Clevinger seemed like a piece that the Indians were going to trade, and they got an absolute haul. They gave up Clevinger. They gave up Greg Allen, who's a good defensive outfielder, has virtually zero offensive value, and a player to be named later. And they got a starting level catcher in Austin Hedges, who really can't hit, but he'll be a quality backup because of his elite defense for a long, long time. They got outfielder slash first baseman Josh Naylor, who's a power hitting outfielder, which is exactly what the Indians were going for. He's not elite in terms of his power, But he's solid, and he helps the team in the short term and the long term. They get relief pitcher Cal Quantrill, who will help the bullpen for the long term. They get shortstop prospect Gabriel Arias, who, again, the Indians have a ton of middle infield prospects, but they're going to flip a few for trades, and it's going to be great to have so many players stacked up behind to compete for the job of Francisco Lindor when he inevitably leaves the Cleveland Indians. Also, Owen Miller and Joey Cantillo, these just add depth to the Indians' farm system. Overall, this trade is a good trade for both sides. The Padres did not think they would compete this year. It turned into a season where they would have to compete. So with that being said, the Padres went out and acquired a lot of players, not only from the Indians, but from many different teams, and they get themselves an elite frontline starting pitcher in Mike Clevinger, which is great for them, and a solid defensive substitute in the outfield in Greg Allen. The Indians shore up their roster right now. They trade from a position of strength to a position of weakness, which is the outfield. They shore up the bullpen. They get a solid backup catcher, and they also shore up their farm system by adding infield prospects and a left-handed pitching prospect, something that they're not necessarily short on, pitching prospects, but it will help nonetheless. The Indians got, I believe it was the 7th, 9th, and 11th ranked prospects in the San Diego Padres system, so obviously a great trade for both sides. I don't know if I'm going to point out a winner in this trade. It seems to me that this trade just helped both teams, and overall it's just a solid trade. Moving on to the second trade, and I'm going in the order of the trades brought down by MLB.com. I mean, these are the trades that they said were the biggest trades, so I'm just going to go and talk about those ones a little bit because those are the ones that people care about the most. I'm not going to talk about the trades down the player to be named later. No one really cares about those trades that much unless you're a fan of those teams. For the general fan, which I am catering to on this podcast, we're going to talk about the second trade, which was the Cincinnati Reds acquiring right-handed pitcher Archie Bradley from the Arizona Diamondbacks for outfielder Stuart Fairchild and utility player Josh Van Meter. So I'll talk about this trade a little bit. The Reds got another pitcher, which really, really helps the Reds. The Reds' pitching is obviously very good nonetheless, but this guy, Archie Bradley, really does not allow home runs. He's had a great ERA over the past four seasons, which is a 3.01 ERA with a 3.2 strikeout to walk ratio, a 1.2 whip, and he gives up under one homer per nine innings. So he's a solid addition for the Cincinnati Reds. Just a great look for the Reds. The Reds give up players who weren't necessarily going to be big parts of their future, but may be able to fill in Arizona. For example, Josh Van Meter. He's had a solid minor league career. He was actually elite in the minor leagues, so good that no one expected him to come up to the majors last year, but he did, and he didn't play that well in the major leagues, but he was all right. He's a solid minor league player. He's a utility guy. He'll be able to help out for the Diamondbacks. He's just another role player to add to that system, maybe help him out a little bit this year and hopefully turn into a better player in the future. And then they get the Reds' number 11 prospect and Stuart Fairchild. Did I say that? Did I say his name? Yeah, Stuart Fairchild. I got it right. I almost messed up his first name. Stuart Fairchild, he's a versatile outfielder, and he's the 11th ranked prospect in the Red system, which is not the greatest, but it's not the worst either in the MLB right now. So this is going to help the Diamondbacks out for the future. This is a trade. The Diamondbacks say, hey, I don't think we're gonna compete that well this year. I don't think we're going to go for the World Series this year. And they just make a trade. They get solid minor league players. They get decent minor league players. And they give up a good pitcher in the process. This helps the Reds. I do believe this is a big win for the Cincinnati Reds. I think this is going to help them. And it's going to push them towards the top of the NL Central. And Archie Bradley can't hurt the Reds. I do think the Diamondbacks get a decent return, but they probably could have gotten more for Archie Bradley. I'd say this is a win for the Cincinnati Reds. The air conditioner in the room that I am recording in just turned on. That is great because it's a million degrees in here. Moving on to the third trade, the third major trade of the trade deadline, which was the Oakland Athletics acquiring left-handed pitcher Mike Minor from the Rangers for two players to be named later. We don't know who those players are, but we do know that Mike Minor had a great season last year, and this year he has not been the same. He's got a 5.60 ERA in, I believe, seven starts that he's pitched. And yeah, it could be due to the fact that the season is short and it's confusing, and he didn't get his full summer camp. He didn't get his full spring training to really get himself ready. But he's a strong veteran pitcher, and the Oakland Athletics can make guys like him into good pitchers, and he's just going to help them out. The Oakland Athletics have been good on the pitching side of things for quite a while, and they will hopefully get better with this trade. I believe it's a solid trade for the Oakland Athletics. It won't really hurt them, and giving up players to be named later, they can't be players of that much value. So we'll see what happens with the Oakland Athletics. Obviously, Mike Minor, he had a great season last year, and it'll be interesting to see what he does this year. at this trade, maybe a change of scenery could really affect how he pitches. Who knows? That's an interesting trade for the Oakland Athletics. Moving down the list, the Miami Marlins acquire outfielder Starling Marte from the Diamondbacks for left-handed pitcher Caleb Smith, right-handed pitcher Humberto Mejia, and a player to be named later. This trade confused me the most out of all the other trades that have happened this deadline, because I don't understand why the Marlins are trading for an outfielder when they're in the midst of a rebuild. Do they actually think they could compete this year? They're not going to compete this year. I don't think there's a chance that the Marlins are going to compete this year, and that's what makes this trade so odd. They got a great outfielder in Starling Marte. He's a solid outfielder. He's sometimes an all-star. He's really playing well this year. But the things they gave up were just so much worse. For example, the majority of the things that I'm upset about with this trade is that they gave up Caleb Smith, who I'm very, very high on. I'm very high on Caleb Smith. He's a lefty with good command. He does good things in the major leagues. He looks good, and I can see him as a guy who's going to be a top 30 starting pitcher in baseball in the next two seasons. So the Diamondbacks really win back this trade. After losing the initial trade to the Reds for Archie Bradley, I think they win with this trade. They get a solid player in Caleb Smith, a player to be named later, we don't know, and Humberto Mejia, who I barely know anything about, but I believe he's a decent ball player, and that's going to help out the Miami, that's going to help out the Arizona Diamondbacks. So this trade, without a doubt, I believe, goes to the Arizona Diamondbacks, specifically because they acquired Caleb Smith. Yes, it's a little bit of a bias. Not everyone thinks Caleb Smith is as good as I think he is, but I think he's pretty solid, and I've seen him pitch. I saw him in the minor leagues, and I've seen him. I've watched him multiple times in the major leagues, not at the game, but I've seen, watched his highlights, I've watched how he pitches, and I believe he's an impressive pitcher who's going to help out in the future. I'm sorry for the noise around me right now, as there is cleaning going on around me. That's just the way it is. Terribly sorry for that. The Phillies acquired right-handed pitcher David Phelps for the Brewers for three players to be named later. It's just an average trade. One trade I would like to talk about, another trade that's important that I would like to talk about, is the Toronto Blue Jays, who are actually competing this season. They're sitting in second in their division right now. They acquired left-handed pitcher Robbie Ray from the Diamondbacks for left-handed pitcher Travis Bergen. The Diamondbacks were quite active this trade deadline, under the radar a little bit, and they gave up a guy who has not been very good this year. He has 31 innings pitched. He has a 7.84 ERA. He has struggled, but he has great stuff, and everyone's enticed by his great stuff. He has a solid whiff rate. He's striking out 27.9% of the batters he faces, and he looks impressive at times, so I don't fault the Blue Jays for going and taking a little calculated risk with a guy like Robbie Ray. They give up left-handed pitcher Travis Bergen, who's obviously a pretty decent ball player, but the real acquisition of Robbie Ray, it's a little controversial, but I don't think it'll hurt the Blue Jays that much. I think Robbie Ray could help more than hurt, and if he has a good season this year, then it could really, really help the Toronto Blue Jays down the stretch, maybe compete for the division, maybe they'll be in the playoffs, and they might be a little better than we expected the Toronto Blue Jays to be, as I predicted earlier this year before the season started. Teams that are younger and less experienced may have a chance in the 60-game season. I think this is the Blue Jays showing, hey, we're going to be a little bit like the Padres. We're going to try our best to compete this season. Moving on to the next trade of the trade deadline. I believe this is going to be the last one that I am going to talk about. The Rockies acquired outfielder Kevin Pillar and cash from the Red Sox for a player to be named later, or cash and international bonus pool money. They're going to decide between a player to be named later or cash, depending on what they want. This is the Boston Red Sox saying, you know what? We don't know what we're doing right now. We're kind of struggling. We're going to give up a guy to get some cash to really shore up the lower parts of our farm system in the upcoming international bonus signing, and maybe a player to be named later who's going to be a minor leaguer who's going to help them out. The Colorado Rockies are shoring up a little bit. They're getting themselves a quality center fielder with solid defense. I don't know how much defense helps you in Coors Field, where the ball's just going to fly out if it's hit over your head. But at the same time, Kevin Pillar's a quality outfielder. He's ranked 21st in outs above average this year, which is an interesting statistic to see for him. And yeah, Kevin Pillar to the Rockies is a pretty good trade too. I believe they won that trade, but I don't think the Red Sox were trying to win that trade. I think they're just trying to get rid of a guy who they don't really need based on their current status this season. Those are my takes on some of the major trades on the trade deadline. Obviously, the baseball season is starting to wind down, which is really interesting to see, because basically, if it was a regular season, the season would be winding up. The season would just be getting started. But we've seen a bunch of fantastic performances from many different players. I'd like to notably talk about Shane Bieber, who's setting records left and right for the Indians. Shane Bieber is a guy who other Indians pitchers, I believe, are going to emulate. Yes, Shane Bieber is having a ridiculous season, but don't be surprised if Aaron Civale and if Zach Plesac come back next year and they come back on fire and they pitch tremendously well for the Indians, and they turn into guys like Shane Bieber. The Indians' pitching development, and I've talked about this many times and I'll continue to talk about it, has been unreal. And it's something that every team should watch and every team should look out for and every team should try and emulate, because if you could develop pitchers like the Indians, you really could constantly trade from a position of strength and shore up the rest of your team, which is what the Indians did in this trade deadline, and I was impressed by that. Overall, in regards to the trade deadline, it's a 60-game season, so you can't expect for them to be some crazy trades. Francisco Lindor did not move in the trade deadline. People didn't really think Lindor would move. Clevinger had more of a chance of moving, and he did move from the Indians. Lindor will probably move this offseason, and which we're just all waiting for. Hopefully the Indians, who are sitting second in their division, can maybe win a World Series this year, even though it wouldn't be as great as winning a 162-game season World Series. It'd be good enough. It'd break the curse of the Cleveland Indians, which is at, like, what now, 71 years, 72 years? Who knows? Hopefully it ends this year for the Cleveland Indians. That'll be awesome to see. All right. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of the World of Baseball podcast. It was a little bit shorter. I am still working out a way to try and have guests. The time difference from where I am to where the guests are, most of them are in the United States, is a 7-hour time difference, so it's really hard to work out times. I'm in contact with multiple guys who I'm trying to have on as guests, really, really working hard for you guys, trying to make sure that we can still have guests on the show. We had Yakov Noir. I might have a couple other friends around. Stay tuned for web exclusives coming this Sunday and next Sunday. The Q&A web exclusive, 20 questions from you guys, will be answered this Sunday, and the next Sunday there will be another fun web exclusive coming out, so stay tuned for those. Also, for people who are supporting the show, supporters of the World of Baseball podcast, stay tuned for exclusive things to come. Stay tuned for that. It is going to be very interesting to see for you guys. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of the World of Baseball podcast. This is Ben C. Gisser signing out. If you like what you're hearing from the World of Baseball podcast, please consider supporting. The link is in the podcast description. Thank you so much and have a good day.